back of their heads most.
But I think we are now getting to the pointy end, as they say, of the. Was I'm just told that was Liz Truss, the new Prime Minister, in the distance that we could see hopping out of that car. Well, thank you very much.
Hello and welcome to The Trawl, the show where we scroll through Twitter so you don't have to. I'm Gemma Forte.
And I'm Marina Perkis. And on today's Trawl, Gemma and I want to focus on one topic and really give it the attention it deserves, because last week the rest of the country were on, well, they were on Royal Watch or queuing. But before we start, how's your week been, Gemma?
Oh my gosh. It feels like it's been a month, if I'm totally honest. So even thinking back now to the funeral, it just seems like ages ago. Mm. And of course, politics had been sort of suppressed and now it's back. And actually, Marina and I, listener, we've decided that there is so much to talk about that we can't fit it all in this episode, because otherwise we just go on for too long. So we're going to do a trawl of most of the week and then do a separate episode just on the budget, because that just requires a whole budget on its own. But so back to this week. Yeah, I did the BBC, which you know, Marina, I always dread.
You're a bit funny around that one, don't you?
I do. It's my real Achilles heel. It's because you only get about half an hour, because it's the papers for the next day. So you can't prep. And you know, I love a bit of prep. I just like...
You do.
Yeah, you do too.
I say we all do. No, not everyone does, do they? Not everyone does prep. Some people just chat shit.
Yeah, some people just say things really loudly and confidently and you think, are you right? And then, anyway.
Who on earth are you talking about, Jo? Anyway.
So did that, and it was particularly difficult because I was thinking the day before, I was looking at the papers and I was like, it's all still stuff about the funeral and actually about Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby. So I was like, well, that would be pretty easy. And then Putin kicked off and threatened to blow up the world. So that was a bit stressful. And then there's another little thing I wanted to tell you about, actually. So I know, Marina, you've told everybody like you have a full-time job working in marketing and everything. So I never really mentioned, I have kind of a parallel life, which is that I do all the news stuff, but I also represent a brand on QVC. So anybody who follows me on Instagram knows this, but anyone who follows me on Twitter doesn't, because I keep Twitter very political and very ranty, and it's just a totally different world. Anyway, the point is that when I go into QVC, which I bloomin' love, by the way, it's nice to have a break and talk about beautiful soap. And also, there's so many nice people that work there, all these people who work on different brands. Long story short, there's a lady there who I really like. She's a member of the Conservative Party, right? So she got to vote. And she's she's an entrepreneur, she has a business, etc. And I really like her, but we were having a bit of a chat and I can't lie, it was a bit stressful because she was just saying how much she thinks Truss is dreadful. And she was saying, well, the thing is, it would have been Penny Mordaunt, but, you know, Sunak and Truss basically got together and decided to get rid of her, stab her in the back, because they knew that either one of them would be beaten if she was running. So this is the level of skullduggery that goes on in politics. And then she said, with a smile, she was like, but, you know, obviously Boris, and I hate calling him Boris, he's Boris Johnson, Boris, he's not this cuddly uncle, is just waiting to make his comeback. And I just was like, I looked at her and I went, like, you'd be okay with that? And she was like, well, and I thought, yeah, that's what the plan is, Marina. And I looked at her and I went, God. I said, I don't think the rest of the country, the majority who didn't vote Conservative in the last election and voted for all the other parties, you think they'd be okay with that? And I got quite upset. And she was like, well, you know, better than Truss. I was like, that's not the point. This isn't like there's only two people in the flipping country who could run it. The man is reprehensible, immoral, corrupt, bellend.
I've seen some people though. There has been this sort of theme keeps coming up, and I've seen a few tweets. Well, you know, the lefties are going to melt down. They didn't realise what, you know, they should have kept Boris Johnson in office, or this is what they wanted. Now they're not happy. Then it's like, this isn't like we shouldn't have been grateful with Johnson. This is just testament to the fact that the Tory party is a complete cesspit of immorality and corruption and incompetence. These shouldn't be our only options.
Yeah. Well, I think she realised that I sort of suddenly sort of went a bit strange and looked a bit mad probably. And I kind of, I said, I'll tell you what, I said, if he does make a comeback, by the way, very Trump-esque, I said, I'll have my pitchfork. I'm Googling pitchforks. And she looked at me and I was like, I'm telling you now. I said, there has to be an election. And I was like, and then I went in and I went into the dressing room, put some blusher on and some more eyeshadow and calmed down.
Oh, well done. It's hard, isn't it? People tricky. Can work me up as well.
What about you? What about you? I know you've had a massive week.
Oh, it's been actually disgusting. I've had too much on. It was my last day of my last week, before I go on maternity leave. My little one's due in like a couple of weeks. And just trying to like tidy things up, hand over, digest with the mini budget coming through as well, how on earth are you supposed to focus? It was really tricky. So yeah, it wasn't my finest week. I got everything done, but it was a very stressful week.
I know you've worked all hours that God sends. So yeah, well done. I just hope you get to put your feet up a little bit soon. So, okay, let's stop whinging about our weeks. And I was whinging, you weren't. Let's go back to the funeral. Let's go back to the beginning of the week. So, okay, briefly, just briefly. So obviously the pageantry, the pomp, it was huge. The protocols had to be observed. The one thing I'll say is, I can't remember who it was, but they said we should probably give a big shout out to the civil servants, because can you imagine, like, if you've ever organised a wedding, for instance, how stressful that is. Imagine organising this thing. And also, Kwasi Kwarteng having a right old laugh at the in the pew.
What was that about?
That was weird.
So dodge, dodge.
And then our listener won't know, whose birthday was the same day as the funeral? It was yours, wasn't it?
It was Marina's. So thanks, you know, Queen Elizabeth stole my thunder a little bit there. It just meant I couldn't go anywhere. Everywhere was closed. I actually said to my husband, I'd put the day off. Obviously, he didn't need to in the end. But I said, like, you know, we could go for lunch. No, nowhere for lunch. No, even Sam's Chicken wasn't open. So, no, ended up going out for an honest burger in the evening. Such is my glamorous life. But it was,
you couldn't even go to a petrol station and just get a packet of Revels.
No, I couldn't even hear beeps at the supermarket.
I have another friend who shares the same birthday as well. So there you go. There you go. But happy birthday.
Thank you.
So, go on.
On the funeral.
Yeah.
There were a few more tweets just before we move on. There were a few more tweets that I think are worth referencing. So another one from Fancy Brenda, who is again a great contributor on Twitter, at Spiller of Tea, who said, I present for your viewing pleasure footage of Liz Truss getting out of a car and Australian media being like, who the F is that? Perfect.
Who's this?
No, hard to identify. Maybe minor royals, members of the... I can't identify them
we
at this point.
We can't spot everyone, unfortunately. They look like they could well be local dignitaries. It's hard to see. We're looking at the backs of their heads mostly.
But I think we are now getting to the pointy end, as they say, of the... I'm just told that was Liz Truss, the new Prime Minister, in the distance that we could see hopping out of that car. Well,
amazing. Really, really amusing. And you know what? It instantly made me recall a tweet of yours, Marina, because you pointed out on Twitter... And I love it, the irony. Madame Truss, when she was Foreign Secretary, she whizzed off to Australia, didn't she, to get that really fabulous trade deal that we get a negligible result out of. And there was a bit of hoo-ha because she spent £500,000 of taxpayers' money on flying a jet out there. And so basically you tweeted something about... When she was Foreign Secretary and she was accused of being wasteful over this, she said, everything I do is with value in money, with value for money in mind. Well, you didn't get much value for money, did you? Despite you swanning in on a jet, because Australia haven't got a clue who you are.
Hang on now, Gemma. Like, she does wear Claire's accessories earrings, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Life is all about balance. So £500,000 jet, taxpayer funded, but Claire's accessories, earrings that make ears go green. Balance.
Yeah, she's well down to earth.
Totally, one of the girls. But hearing that clip, it didn't just make me laugh. It actually made me a bit jealous because I was like, oh, to be like one of those Aussie news anchors and not have a clue who Liz bloody Truss is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very interesting that the BBC were widely praised, actually, for not having commentary during the funeral. And they just sort of let it play out, which I think was more perhaps a symptom of the fact that the week before, we've covered this in the last episode of The Trawl, there was such scraping of the reporting barrel that it was leaving commentators just dribbling on about absolute rubbish. So when they showed the funeral, actually, they just sort of let people view it kind of thing. But whereas print journalism was having some kind of breakdown, it got so sort of simplistic, culminating, I think, in The Independent tweeting an article, and the headline was, "How to Watch the Queen's Funeral on TV," and Natalie Rowe, at Real Natalie Rowe, was as confused as I was by this. "Was it a trick question?" she said. "Surely one just switches the TV on?" And I thought, given that it was on every channel, yeah, it was like, I don't think anybody needs a sort of how-to guide on this one. It's fine.
Possibly
we've all got
how
it.
How to, if you don't want to, watch it. But anyway, and during the actual funeral, the Metro tweeted an article saying, "Breaking, Queen arrives at Westminster Abbey for historic state funeral."
Was it
really breaking news? Was it news to you, Gemma, that she was arriving?
Do you know what? She was always going to show up. It was kind of the point of the day, wasn't it? Like, with, you know, there was so much hyperbole. So actually, here's a question for you, Marina. Yeah. What have been, okay, have a quick think, the most significant days of your life so far?
Oh, significant. Right. So, of my little boy being born, so 22 months ago, my wedding to the lovely Ben in Italy. Say those are like standard.
Yeah.
But, you know, also some like amazing day parties in like Ibiza, Vegas. Oh, even Swedish House Mafia, their last ever gig at the Milton Keynes Bowl. Very significant.
Okay.
What about yours?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ditto. Lily bowling up nearly 18 years ago. Freddie joining her nearly 16 years ago on Monday. Bloody hell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God, I'm old. And what else? Yeah, wedding. I mean, divorce.
Still counts.
Oh, the first day I ever had a blow dry. That was huge.
My God, I didn't know what you were going to say there, Gemma.
No, blow dry, listener. And I realised, oh my God, my hair looks flipping amazing when it is tamed by a professional. I've never looked back. But these people, Marina, these people, they're the last two people who were in the queue, and they were asked how they felt. Have a listen.
With me now, Sarah and Mark, who were, if not the last people, very much the last people.
Yeah, we were
in the queue last night. What was that like?
Amazing. I think it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Even having my children, Lily and Luca, I think this tops that.
Oh,
that's weird. I've got a Lily and you've got a Luca. How? That's now out there for her kids to hear, that standing in a queue is more important than giving birth to her kids.
But it's the best thing she's ever done in her life. The bit that makes you question what else she's done, though. Like, she's standing in a queue was the best thing she's ever done. And also, you've got to feel for Lily and Luca. Are they going to see that? I mean, sure, they will, because it's gone bloody viral. Someone at school.
Maybe Lily and Luca are just massive arseholes.
I hope they are. If they're not, I feel really sorry for them.
Yeah, me too.
But it wasn't just those, you know, parents like that making some bold statements. There was, do you know what, I actually don't mind that as much in comparison to this next clip, because at least those parents were speaking like crazily, but for themselves. But Lindsay Hoyle, who is the Speaker of the House and as useless or as useful as a chocolate fire guard, I think someone wrote on Twitter.
Chocolate teapot.
Well, yeah, he basically, lots of chocolate things that contain hot liquids, basically. He spoke for the world when he was on Laura Koonsberg's BBC show. Have a listen to what he said about how important this event was.
We should not allow anything to overshadow the most important event the world will ever see, and that's the funeral of Her Majesty and the passing of Her Majesty.
Wowzers! Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Because I was saying this to a mate and he was like, but Gemma, you know, it was watched by, you know, however many billion people around the world. I think that's a bit Daily Mail because they said 4 billion and the figures you don't know. But so in terms of a televisual event, okay, so if he'd said this is the the most viewed event. It's up there with Super Bowls, Oscars, although I think more people watch the Euro final in 2020. Mm. I don't know, in Britain. So anyway, whatever. The other thing I just want to quickly mention about Lindsay Hoyle Marina is that, you know, you and I are on that WhatsApp group, which is a load of people who are into politics.
Yeah.
And it's quite a lot of people on it. And some of them I kind of quite revere and respect. So I don't sort of put that much on there because I always feel like, I don't know, am I going to be telling them anything they don't know? Mm-hmm. But there was one day, it was so embarrassing. Someone mentioned Lindsay Hoyle and I kind of forgot that they're not all like my mates. And I just, my contribution was, doesn't he look like Postman Pat? And then no one replied. I was really left hanging. And I went red. You. I know. Maybe go back. It's a few weeks ago now. But if you could scroll through and do a thumbs up sign on it, like a bit of solidarity, that would be
okay,
really good.
Yeah, I could do that. I'll do that after this podcast.
But he does look, but he does look like Postman Pat.
Yeah, he's also northern, so he's got that northern thing going on.
No, it's the nose. I got as far as doing a split pic with a Google image of Postman Pat.
Did you put that on the group and get ignored as well?
I was going to, and I thought, no, back down. You can't, when someone doesn't laugh, you can't go and reinforce your own joke.
Excuse me, did you get my joke? This is my joke. I'm explaining it for you.
Exactly. So anyway, thank you. I've at least managed to express that, and hopefully one listener.
I didn't see it. I can't keep up. Basically, this group is talking about all the scandal, and I cannot keep up. but I found it deeply insulting to say the most important thing the world will ever see. I mean, I'll bugger off. I mean, for many people, perhaps it was, but for many people, me included, it wasn't even the most important thing happening that day.
I'm that was sorry. Your honest burger.
I had an honest burger, which was delicious. Their rosemary chips are off the scale. I mean, for me, like the only Fools and Horses, you know, final episode was more significant. Soz, I'm sure I've offended someone with that.
You will have. Right, Countess of Waterdeep on Twitter is probably Team Marina here, because they said if Lindsay Hoyle got any further up Charles's arsehole, he'd be wearing the crown himself. Lovely image. And David Osland on Twitter put, Lindsay Hoyle is right. The funeral of Elizabeth II does put the invention of the wheel, the birth of Christ, the fall of the Roman Empire, the Renaissance, the Atlantic slave trade, World Wars I and II, the Holocaust and the moon landing in historical perspective.
So,
and Daniel R, kind of same kind of theme. he put the fall of the Berlin Wall, the moon landings, the signing of the Magna Carta, the abolition of slavery, women gaining the vote, just a small list of things that Hoyle finds less important than a billionaire nonagenarian passing away at 96.
When you put it like that. and people on Twitter as well, they were getting really aerated about Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby cue barging, which, well, I sort of get it, a little bit offensive. What do you make of that, Gemma?
I was a little bit more invested in this, but I think that's because I used to be a TV sort of presenter, not a political one, a sort of idiot one. You know, I was like a kids presenter on Disney, and then I did some stuff for ITV and so on. And I remember, this is really going a bit, I don't know quite how I'm segueing into this. Well, I remember years ago being up for a job with ITV, and it was early 2000s. I don't think people would ever say this now. And they said to my agent at the time, we really like her, but she's a bit fat. and made me feel great. And what else did they say? They said, oh, the thing about ITV is that you've absolutely got to feel like you could go to the pub and have a pint with your presenters. And I think that's always stuck with me, and I kind of get that bit. That's very much the appeal of Ant and Dec. Like, everybody would like to go for a pint with Ant and Dec, okay? Although I like to think some people would like to go for a pint with me. Although, to be fair, I don't drink pints because they're very gassy and I have to go to the loo 8 times. So I'm a gin and tonic. Maybe that's the point. So I think what has happened with Philip and Holly is that, you know, it wouldn't have even occurred to them. They've just been offered this thing and they've forgotten, like, okay, come on, just because you present some daytime thing, who do you bloody think you are? Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have blown up as much if Susanna Reid and David Beckham hadn't gone and queued with everybody. David Beckham, arguably way more famous, international superstar. So it cut through. But furthermore, Marina, the other thing I found interesting is the British psyche. So listen, we are getting really upset about the corruption, about the legislation that's going through, about the state of the economy, about all of these things. But it's another reminder that most people aren't. And so the things that cut through sometimes are really more moral. So that is why Johnson is out. It isn't any of the things that we've been so upset about. It's the parties. He bloody well had parties when he told people not to, and they did as they were told, and he bloody didn't. And with Philip and Holly, they're like, you jumped the bloody queue. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think I massively underestimated how pissed off people were with it. Is it because queuing's like a national sport as well?
Yeah.
Very good at that.
Yeah, 100%.
People were fuming. There was a tweet from someone named @Erna21, and he wrote, "Can we all agree that we're done with Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield?" Which I thought was a bit harsh, but it got 46,000 likes. And I've got to admit, right, I found the outrage all a bit odd and ironic. And I someone articulated it really well in their tweet. The reason why it was @MJA_L, Mike Andrews, who wrote, "Just sums up a country in turmoil where there is outrage at the elite jumping a queue to pay their last respects to the head of the most elite family in the country. I guess Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield are just the wrong sort of elite. Know your place."
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, the brouhaha went on. This morning ended up putting out a statement on the Monday, and there was loads of reaction to it and backlash because everyone was like, what a load of bullshit. And I think the general consensus was they'd have been better off just turning up on the Monday and just going, really sorry. Yeah, we were asked if we wanted to go to the front of the queue, and we didn't think, and it was out of order. And I kind of think that would have been better and put the whole bloody thing to rest. Eamon Holmes was actually quite funny. I saw a clip of him on GB News being properly bitter about it all, and it made me laugh. Anyway, so on a slightly different note, somebody who's really great on Twitter, @SillySHIBSIOB, Princess of Yorkshire, difficult handle, she said, "What's the point in the prayers for health and prosperity of the nation when there's a person sat there who's going to dismantle it before our very eyes?" So she was obviously watching the funeral, having a little look at Liz Truss sat there and just feeling a sense of dread.
This is my sentiment exactly. And there was another tweet, similar in sentiment, from Katie Plopkins, who said, "I couldn't care less about Holly and Phil getting to see the coffin before everyone else. I do care about the things the ERG, so this is the European Research Group, are doing, whilst the media is only reporting what Holly and Phil are doing." Which leads us beautifully to this. Take a deep breath, folks, because here it is. Our topic du jour, ladies and gentlemen, we give you the removal of the cap on bankers' bonuses. To be fair, what have you most been worried about lately during this chronic economic downturn, Gemma? Let me guess. Is it the NHS crumbling? People dying in corridors? Is it the lack of investment in schools? No, climate disaster. Price of your weekly shop? No, of course not. You've been worried about bankers not earning enough, haven't you?
I have. I've been tossing and turning, just thinking, you know, if they can't afford their Gucci loafers, what am I going to do? 100%. I think the rest of the country have been extremely, extremely worried about that. No, we haven't. But I tell you who have. Our Prime Minister Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, who quite extraordinarily have removed the cap on bankers' bonuses. Now, they're selling this as a Brexit bonus, which is interesting because I never saw it written on the side of a flipping bus. As if the EU, as if 27 countries got together and came to a consensus on the fact that after the financial crisis, they should put a cap on. The financial crisis, of course, happened in 2008, and they put these caps on, not for shits and giggles, but to curb the behaviour and the kind of habits of a certain kind of sort of trading. Exactly. So they say that this will stimulate growth and attract talent to the City of London. Let's see what Twitter is saying, shall we?
Yep, here she is. So this is Liz Truss trying to justify this absurd new policy with complete bollocks.
That means the rich get richer, and that's fine.
If that means taking difficult decisions which are going to help Britain become more competitive, help Britain become more attractive, help more investment flow into our country, yes, I'm absolutely prepared to take those decisions, because what I care about is I care about our country being successful and everyone in our country, wherever they live, wherever they're from, having those opportunities.
So you're willing to do unpopular things if you think it can contribute to a bigger economy?
That's right. And I will always work to make sure that we are helping those who are struggling. That's why we took the action that we took on energy bills, because we didn't want to see households facing unaffordable bills.
So you heard in that clip, right? She says she wants to see people have the high paid jobs they deserve. Now, are you sure, Liz? Because I don't think anyone could do a better job of calling out her insane hypocrisy than Peter Stefanovich, who tweeted, Kwasi Kwarteng is seeking to scrap the banker's bonus cap to boost the city. In other news, Liz Truss calls key workers who refuse to accept a crappy real terms pay cut in a cost of living crisis militant. And then there was this perfect tweet from Simon Harris at SimonHarris_MBD, who wrote, if you're not angry about bankers' bonuses being uncapped at the same time as the poorest in society being told to try and work more hours or their benefits will be cut, your head must be so far up your own arse that you're seeing out of your nipples.
That's right. I mean, the rhetoric is getting angrier on Twitter, and I completely understand. These policies are disgusting. And I listened to a really fascinating bit of radio with some high-end callers, I would say. It was on LBC and people from the city. And that's what you need to do. When they do these things, don't listen to them. Listen to people who are... So if you want to know about what's going on in the NHS, listen to people who work on it. If you want to know how this affects people in the city, listen to people who work in
the
city.
Wait a minute, Gemma. Don't listen to a think tank, you mean?
Like, yeah, one of those. Tank. No. Or Rees-Mogg. So basically, or Alan Sugar or Farage. No.
Or a Lord.
So these really, really high earners, these people were calling in and they were going, well, this won't attract talent. Okay, so that's the first myth bust. Why? And they were saying, well, you know, it's correct. Before the 2008 big crash that was caused by the subprime mortgage market in America going absolutely haywire, what you had is they were paid sort of lower wages, really, but they always had the carrot of these huge unlimited bonuses. So the behaviour, although all kind of trading to a certain degree is a bit like gambling, but if you give bankers what they've got now, which is like really high wages and still massive bonuses, like, don't worry, they're still huge, then the behaviour is slightly modified and it's a bit more sensible. Basically, and you are less likely to avoid another huge crash. So Mike Galsworthy...
It didn't come out of like an envy thing, did it? It wasn't like, you know, the government was like, oh, Henriette Merrill Lynch is earning too much, we must slash that. There was rationale to it so that we don't have to bail out the banks again when there's a massive crash.
Absolutely. And of course, you can argue that these people who earn massive wages, they do, if they're taxed properly, they pay a huge amount into the treasury. We do need them. We do need talent in the city. All of those things are true, but it's bullshit. And guess what? Brexit has actually lost us loads and loads of talent. Of course it flipping has.
Brain drain.
Yeah, brain drain, exactly. And the other thing, let's just say how insulting it is. So we are really short of doctors. We're really short of teachers. We're short of police officers. What are they doing to attract them? How are they making things look good for them?
Are they not removing this idea, the cap on their bonuses?
No, they're not. They haven't gone. Or do you know what, guys? If you come and work in the NHS, then, you know, all the sky's the flipping limit. You can have free parking. No, you pay for your parking. Unbelievable. Mike Galsworthy, who's the founder of Scientists for EU and a campaigner, said lifting the EU cap on bankers' bonuses being sold as a Brexit benefit during a cost of living crisis shows exactly what many of us said Brexit was all about. Brexit's done nothing to make life easier for ordinary citizens, small businesses, farmers, fishermen, or the youth. Those Brexit freedoms are not for you and I. They're for the wealthy who wish to escape responsibility and regulation. And I will caveat that by saying not all wealthy people. Not all wealthy people are bad or evil or wrong. And many of them are despairing about what's going on and playing out at the moment. I met someone not that long ago, sort of 6 months or so, who's really like high net worth individual. He was scratching his head about why he was being given 400 quid for his energy bills. He was scratching his head on all this stuff. So that's a we mustn't make that mistake as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, this is such a nonsensical approach, right? So try and follow this. Truss is saying she wants tax cuts for the rich because tax cuts for the rich makes the UK more attractive to investors. Investors who last month withdrew record amounts due to market instability. And why do we have market instability? Oh, that would be because of the Tories' disastrous Brexit and pound-slashing policies. It's just, it's insanity. It's like round and round we go trying to fix these problems that the Tories created. Mm. Ugh, ridiculous. There was another thing to look at. So compare the lifting of bankers' bonus caps this week against what the government are doing to the benefits claimants. So the government actually snuck this out this week in case you missed it. This was surmised by ITV's Paul Brand, who tweeted, "New Chancellor will announce this week that 120,000 benefit claimants will be asked to take active steps to seek more and better paid work or face having their benefits reduced. Hard for government to contrast with bankers getting increased bonuses, but they're facing it head first." Like, what a contrast. And can you believe it? I mean, of course you can. We can actually bring you proof that people exist who think this is a good idea, including this week's Lord of the Week. Gemma, hit it.
Lord of the Week. Lord.
Thank you. This one sent me into a tailspin, I'm going to be honest. I tweeted about it. It's so this Lord is a billionaire and he's a former banker. Log that. Former banker, billionaire, Tory Lord Michael Spencer.
Loving you donated, him already.
Yeah, he sounds great. He donated £25,000 to Liz Truss's leadership bid just recently. Now, listen to the clip of him on Nick Ferrari's LBC Breakfast Show when he's asked to name a Brexit benefit. Listen, hear what he says, and then remember the new government policy announced this week to remove the cap on bankers' bonuses.
Last couple of minutes together. There are benefits to be had from Brexit, are there, Lord Spence?
Yes, many.
Outline some that we need to explore.
Well,
now.
Why don't, for example, financial services? There are loads, you don't want me to bore you with techie of European regulation that have been lumbered on financial services, which should be peeled off. And one of them, which again will of course not poll well, is stop. Would you take away the cap on bankers' bonuses? I mean, that was all a European project.
Ooh, I love when it says financial services. Financial.
This is what buying government policy looks like. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how much more obvious it can be. They're so brazen, they don't even care to hide it anymore. Of all the benefits we were promised, don't forget that Vote Leave video. Do you remember when we were all going to be like going to the GP and it was like a spa?
Yeah, it was, exactly. It was just like this dreamy land where everything worked well and the teacher beautiful. Was standing at the school gates waving, just feeling full of joy for her wonderful life. And we were all happy.
And you would put your shopping in your basket and it was all like 5p, 10p.
Yeah, and it was all made in Cornwall. Made in Cornwall, delicious. And I'm going to go home and on my lovely stove that I'm going to just do some stewed apples. And then go to a fate.
Of all the benefits, though, that we were promised, that Lord is asked to name one. And that's the one he names, and that's the one he got. And also £25,000, remember, he donated to Liz Truss's leadership campaign. £25,000 from a billionaire. I did have to do some maths on this and get my husband involved because I'm shit at maths. Basically, he just bought government policy for the relative price of buying a Twix. So that's good to know.
And I feel a mix coming on because what you can do here is you can blend two of our tunes. So it's Lord of the Corruption, we Corruption. I'm going to bring out a bloody album, I tell you, the troll. Yeah. So Guy Arnold on Twitter said, as a country, we're about to be committed to over $150 billion of debt that taxpayers have to repay. That's the whole energy bills bit. And more tax cuts for bankers and the rich. Hello, journalism. Where have you gone? Fair point. And Selva Silan Selvaraja said, instead of lifting the cap on bankers' bonuses, how about lifting the punitive cap on doctors' pensions? Might encourage us to do more shifts, clear the backlogs, and might stop many of us retiring early too. Oh, good luck with that. And somebody actually replied underneath, which is really funny. Have you considered donating millions to the Conservative Party?
That's another good tweet. Johnny Inglesel tweeted, Truss said that paying bankers huge bonuses will attract more bankers. Maybe she should adopt the same policy with GPs, nurses and doctors.
Precisely.
Great, great shout.
Yeah.
Oh, look. I know this could all get a bit much. We try and keep it light, but I am getting a bit stressed. I do get a bit stressed sometimes. But there are times when I think I'm just going to go and live in the woods and I'm never going to open Twitter again. And then you come across a tweet like this, which makes you glad that you did. So this one is from the Trades Union Congress and they tweeted, the International Monetary Fund said, when the rich get richer, benefits do not trickle down. And Liz Truss's response was, have a listen.
We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway.
Because there's something inside so wrong,
so wrong. Corruption. You know what I love about Barry singing there, Barry from EastEnders,
yeah,
is the commitment. The commitment at the end. Anyway, we've all done it.
Closed as well. He's going for it.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Bazza.
Goodness me. Trickle down economics, eh? Who'd have it?
Yeah. And you know, we've got to not even go there because, I mean, we've still managed to talk quite a long time by cutting ourselves short this week. But it's not that short, is it?
Yeah, we have to. We'll cover that next time. In fact, my boss even said, hi, Simon, if you're listening. He was like, they're starting to get a bit long. I was like, yes, sorry. Let's keep them short and sharp, like the glimmers of hope that we have of this Tory shit show not becoming worse by the day.
Yeah, but we still always have time for an underrated tweet of the week. And John Niven spotted this one. So thank you, John. Absolutely brilliant. So Ben Collins, he's a senior reporter for NBC. So I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark and assume that Ben Collins is gay because he posted this clip of Trump speaking at a rally and said, I'm always saying this. Have a listen.
Great country. Remember I was going to say, I was going to use an expression, we have to keep our country gate, but it's not, I mean, for some reason, it's just not great anymore.
It's beautiful. And John just captioned it. Ha 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 ha. It's really good.
Thank you, Ben. And it wouldn't be a trawl, no matter how short, without a pudding. So here you go, listener. Enjoy.
Minister, we've heard a lot about trickle-down economics in the past few days, but a lot of people still aren't sure what it actually means.
Oh, I see. So, listen, it's very simple. Here's the plan. We give the top 1% more money.
And?
And what?
And after that?
What do you mean after that?
I just...
Look, you asked me to explain what it was.
Yes, I just thought that there might be something after that.
Well, what more are you expecting?
Minister, thank you.
I did tell you it was simple.